morning, friends. How are you today? Good. It's good to see you this morning. If we haven't had the privilege of meeting before, my name is Renu. I'm one of the pastors here at Gateway, and I'm so thankful for this opportunity to come around the Word of God with you this morning as we start this new series, Sound Mind. And you know, anyone here a fan of the Wordle? Anyone a Wordle doer, a daily Wordle? Oh, got it in four, Fiona says. See, the Wordle, for those of you who don't do it, know it, it's a daily thing that Bevan and I do where we try and guess the word of the day. So this was yesterday's. So you have six guesses to guess a five-letter word, and you get green, like a letter for the correct letter in the correct spot, or yellow if it's in the wrong spot. So yesterday's word was slick, and we got it in four goes. I'm yet to get it in one go. Anyone here ever done a Wordle and got it in their first go? Oh, look at these hands. Good work, guys. One go. Now, the question is, do you change your starter word, or do you keep the starter word the same? Same. And one day, eventually, you'll hit your first guess. Okay, I see how it works here. But, you know, this is a bit of an aside, but I was thinking about it in terms of sound mind, that that's something that I love, like mind challenges, brain teasers, trivia, crossword. Anyone else a fan of things like that? Yeah, I see a few hands, a few people who are keen on trivia or crosswords. That's so good. But I think it's so amazing how God has created our minds. Like, we have these minds for capacity for thought, for creativity, for discernment, for inventions, for discovery. And our thoughts are powerful. And they can have great power in our lives in what we do and how we behave and how we act. They can have an impact on how we interpret it and interact with the world around us, how we perceive ourselves, how we perceive others, and how we perceive God. But you know, as we start this series on sound mind, my prayer is that you and I, together, we grow in what it says in Ephesians 4, verse 23 to 24. Instead, let the Holy Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy, that together we would allow Holy Spirit to renew our thoughts, our attitudes, so we can become more Christ-like. Why? Because we need our Christ-like nature in our families, in our relationships, in our world. Why? Because we are commissioned. You know, our new mission statement last week, that we are commissioned, that we are called to reach our friends, our family, our city, our region, our nation, this world with the good news of Jesus. And don't we need his power? Don't we need his ability? Don't we need his mind? Don't we need our thoughts renewed to be able to do this well? So would you join me as we open in prayer? Lord God, I just thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are the one who guides us into all truth. You are the teacher, you are the counselor. And I thank you that you're so committed to renewing us and making us more like Jesus. And Holy Spirit, as I speak this morning, would you speak to our hearts as only you can? Would you bring revelation as only you can? And would you guide us into all truth? Amen. So Sound Mind, our new series. Now, interestingly, this term sound mind is actually only found one time in the Bible. This actual term is used once in 2 Timothy 1:7. It says this: "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Paul is writing to Timothy, encouraging him that the Holy Spirit that is given to him is not timid, is not fearful, but gives him power, love, and a sound mind. In other versions, outside this version, it actually doesn't just talk about spirit with the lowercase s, but spirit with the capital S. The spirit that God has given us gives us power, love, and a sound mind. The Greek word for spirit here is pneuma, often used to describe Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God. The same word pneuma is used in our declaration for the year: but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. As in line with our mission as a church, we are spirit-filled Christians. We have Holy Spirit working in us and through us. Power, love, and a sound mind. This is what Timothy says, that Holy Spirit gives. This is what Paul says Holy Spirit gives us. Power, the Greek word here, dunamis, supernatural, miraculous power, is the Greek word. Again, this same word is used in Acts 1:8, but you will receive power. But it's also used in Ephesians 1:19, Paul's prayer: "I pray that you will understand the incredible power available for us who believe in him." Power, his love, the Greek word for love here, agape, an active love of God for his son and his people. But the same active love he calls us to have for him, for those around us as well. You know, a second part of our mission statement is being wholly devoted, that we have Holy Spirit in us to help us to love God and to love people, to become and to grow in being wholly devoted. But then the third one, sound mind. Holy Spirit gives us a sound mind. Sophronismus is the Greek word. As I said, this is the only time this word is used in the Bible, but it translates to mean self-discipline, self-control, moderation. You know, I think of that and I think Holy Spirit gives us a sound mind, but we get to be active participants in it. We get to take part in having that sound mind, that self-discipline, that moderation. It's not just like a boom, one and done. We get to activate that and outwork it in our lives each and every day. You know, for you, for me, in our lives, in our church, in our world, whether that be with our family, with our friends, in our workplaces, in our universities, in our schools, in our sports clubs, at our gyms, just at home, wherever we might be, we have the ability from Holy Spirit to have power, His dunamis power that brings miracles, that supernatural. We have His ability to love, the agape love, the godly love that we can have for Him and others. And we have the ability to have a sound mind, the ability to have self-discipline, self-control, and moderation in our thoughts. Let that be an encouragement to you this morning, my friend, that Holy Spirit is working in you, giving you power, love, and a sound mind to fulfill the mission He has called us to. But I guess sometimes, you know, that can all sound really good in theory, right? Like power, love, and a sound mind. Awesome. How do I actually outwork this? What does this look like in my Monday to Saturday? What does this look like when, you know, the battles of life come? What does this look like when I'm dealing with stuff, when I'm just going through the everyday? I'm so glad you asked. Let's look at a passage of scripture that Paul writes that gives us some pointers or tips on how we do this. We're looking at 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 to 5. I'm reading from the NIV. I'd encourage you to follow along in your Bible or on the Bible app, but the verses will appear on the screen as well. Just to give you some context or background information, Paul is facing opposition from false teachers in Corinth. They're trying to turn people away from the truth. You know, they were accusing Paul of being corrupt, of wicked, of being immoral, of just trying to preach the gospel but actually wanting the people's money, pretending to be virtuous but not actually teaching the truth. I don't know about you, but that sounds pretty brutal, right? Of all the great things we've heard about Apostle Paul, to be accused of this. Paul writes to the church in Corinth with this strong response. So we're reading from 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1 to 5. By the humility and gentleness of Christ, I appeal to you. I, Paul, who am timid when face to face to you, but bold towards you when away, I beg that you, when I come, I may not have to be as bold as I expect to be towards some people who think that we live by the standards of the world. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. You know, what a powerful, strongly worded letter. What really blows my mind about this is amazing how Paul comes with such humility and gentleness. You know, in verse 1 and 2, he appeals to them. And there's such a boldness in what he says, but he's not like, you know, scolding them and telling them all, but he's like, I appeal to you in gentleness and kindness. You know, perhaps Paul recognizes what he writes in Ephesians 6:12, that he's not fighting against people. He's not fighting against the people in the church of Corinth, but the evil principalities and powers. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers and authorities of this dark world. And perhaps Paul recognizes that it's not the people he's fighting against, but the enemy. You know, for us today, Satan, the accuser of the brethren, it says in Revelations 12:10, he will try to attack our minds. He will try and attack our thoughts, make us doubt our salvation, make us feel shame, condemnation, make us feel that we are not worthy of God's love or that God will not be faithful. Can I encourage you that through Holy Spirit, we have the power and authority to stand against the lies of the enemy? These unhelpful, untrue thoughts, you have the Holy Spirit to take captive those thoughts and make them obedient to truth. You have that power in you. I have that power in me from Holy Spirit. So how do we do this? How do we exercise this self-discipline, this self-control, moderation in our thoughts? As I said, we're an active participant of it. How do we do this? If you're taking notes this morning, how do we keep a sound mind? Point number one, recognize we are human with God's power in us. Recognize we are human with God's power in us. In verse 3, it says this, for though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not weapons of this world. In the NLT, it says this, we are human, but we don't wage war as humans do. You know, you and I are human. There's a duality there. We recognize we're human, but we don't fight wars as humans do. We are humans with normal human struggles, with challenges, with troubles, with tough days. Anyone else human and have tough days, hard days, challenges? You know, I think everyone in this room can attest to that. But we have normal human struggles, but we also have a God who is powerful, who is mighty, who is strong, who is able. Paul in his letter to Ephesians, again, he says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty, not in your own self-reliance, not in your own ability, not in your own power, but be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. And can I encourage you, friends, this morning, if you have made Jesus Lord of your life, you have Holy Spirit in you. If you have made Jesus Lord of life, you have Holy Spirit in you. Ephesians 1:13 says this, now you Gentiles have also heard the truth, the good news that God saves you. And when you believed in Christ, he identified you as his own, giving you the Holy Spirit who he promised long ago. If you have made Jesus Lord, you have Holy Spirit in you. You know, but this scripture talks about the good news that saves you. Friend, if you are here this morning and you have not made Jesus Lord yet, you have not made the decision to follow him, you might have heard about God, you might have gone to church before, you might have gone to a Christian school, but there is a God who loves you so much, as we heard about in communion from Joanne, that he sent Jesus to die on the cross, to be buried and rise again on the third day so you and I could be forgiven of our sin, saved and restored to relationship with him. That is the good news that saves us. And if you are here this morning, my friend, and you haven't made a decision to make Jesus Lord, to make him leader of your life, I would love to give you the opportunity to do that at the end of this message so that you can know this love that God has for you personally. But you know, in Ephesians 1:13, it says he identified you as his own by giving you the Holy Spirit. As Pentecostal Christians, we believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That yes, at salvation we receive Holy Spirit, but as Pentecostal Christians, we believe as the baptism of the Holy Spirit as a separate or distinct infilling of the Holy Spirit. That it is for power, that is to see mission fulfilled, the infilling of the Holy Spirit through the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And can I encourage you this morning, if you need to look it up, to be effective witnesses for him. Acts chapter 1 verse 5, Acts chapter 1 verse 8, Luke 24:49. You know, you might be on that journey of discovering, is the baptism of the Holy Spirit for me? Can I encourage you? Yes, it is. And if you are here this morning and you have made a salvation decision for Jesus, but you have not yet been baptized in the Holy Spirit, I would love to pray for you at the end of the service as well. So those two things at the end of the service, I would love to pray with you for that, because there is power and authority that comes with the baptism of the Holy Spirit as well. But if you are a Christian, a follower of Jesus, we have Holy Spirit working in us. You know, when we are hurt, when we experience challenges, when our world feels chaotic, when we feel like we can't go on, when our thoughts take us down a rabbit hole. Anyone have those moments where they start with one thought, next minute they're down the rabbit hole with the unhelpful thoughts? Or is that just me who does that sometimes? Not anyone else? But you know, we don't have to stay there. We have the power of Holy Spirit to help us overcome. We have a God who is powerful and able to help us overcome. And, you know, this is something I'm learning and still outworking in my life. Very recently, a couple of weeks ago, there was a work situation where someone spoke quite rudely and abruptly to me, and it was out of line because I hadn't done anything wrong. It was just kind of where they were at. And I felt very justified. I was angry. I was upset. I was like, I have been wronged. How very dare they? And, you know, and they wanted to come and apologize to me on the phone and everything. And I was like, nah, I can't talk to them. I'm too emotional right now. I'm too upset. Talk about a rabbit hole, right? It's like I got in that moment where I was like so upset and so angry. And I, like, you know, I felt justified because like I'd been wronged. I hadn't done anything wrong. And here I was getting told off. But, you know, as I took a break and as I took a moment, Holy Spirit just reminded me of God's forgiveness for me. you know, as Joanne shared within communion, that scripture that Father forgive them, they don't know what they do. Jesus was wrong, like big time, right? Like he hadn't done anything wrong. And here he is on the cross saying, Father forgive them, they don't know what they do. How could I harbor unforgiveness in that moment over something so small? But you know, it took a moment that I had to allow Holy Spirit to help me with that. It wasn't like I was like, all right, I'm all ready to forgive, let's go. I had to say, Holy Spirit, help me with this. Help me with this. But you know, as I did, something shifted in me. You know, the situation and the person wasn't the issue, right? It was the enemy trying to keep me in this unforgiveness, in this anger, in this justification that I had been be wrong, therefore I can be angry for as long as I want. But as I did, the weight lifted off my shoulders. As I spoke to the person, I was able to say, hey, it was more a reflection on my emotional state and my mental state than what you actually said. All is forgiven, all is well. And that brought restoration to us. You know, we have Holy Spirit power in us. This is not something that is unique to me. We have Holy Spirit power that we can take captive thoughts. We can take captive our emotions and put them in line with God's truth in our life. We are not victims of our emotions or our thoughts. We are not held captive by our emotions or thoughts. We have power and authority over them, my friends. So how do we keep a sound mind? How do we have that self-discipline, moderation, and self-control? We recognize we are human with God's power in us. But point number two, we use the word of God, our divinely powerful weapon. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 4 to 5 says this, the weapons we fight with are not weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself against the knowledge of God. In other versions, it says that sets an obstacle for people to know God. We demolish those strongholds. You know, in Paul's context, people were being influenced from false teaching, drawn away from knowing God. But Paul brought God's truth. You know, for us today, this, God's word, the Bible is our source of truth. A powerful weapon. You know, we've got other powerful weapons. Prayer is a powerful weapon that Pastor Grant spoke about. Praise and worship that we engage in is a powerful weapon that we have. We have powerful weapons. Speaking in tongues is a powerful weapon that they have. We've got mighty weapons. But this is a mighty weapon, the word of God. You know, Ephesians 6:15, again, Paul's letter to the church in Ephesus. The word of God is called the sword of the Spirit. It's an offensive weapon, a sword you use to fight with, not just to defend with. The sword of the Spirit. Hebrews 4:12 says this, for the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrows. It judges or discerns, in other versions, the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. The word of God discerns the thoughts and attitudes of our heart. God's word is alive and active. For us today, his word is alive and active. It discerns our thoughts and attitudes. God's word demolishes strongholds and can destroy obstacles. You know, I think of Jesus in Matthew 4 when he was tempted in the wilderness. What did he say? For it is written, or the scriptures say, man does not live by bread alone, when the enemy wanted him to try and turn stone into bread. It is written. You know, if it was good enough for Jesus to use the word of God, I think it's good enough for us today to use the word of God, just saying. You know, the thing is, though, we need, and I say this with all the love in my heart, we need to know the word of God to use it. We need to know the word of God to use it. You know, I think with anything that you have to learn, you need to be familiar with it. You need to practice with it in order to be proficient with it. Many things in life, walking, I don't know, unless you were a child prodigy, but walking as a baby takes practice. You know, learning a musical instrument takes practice. Learning to drive takes practice. Learning to ride a bike takes practice. All these things that we need to do, consistent practice builds proficiency. It's not a one-off and done. Similar to the word of God, I need to read it. You and I need to read it to learn how to use it, to become proficient with it. You know, I think of when I was a child, I had really bad nightmares quite often. And something that my mom taught me like from a young age was to read Psalm 91. Now, I don't know it off by heart, but I still remember the first verse or two, that he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. And you know, when I'd wake up in the night with nightmares, I learned and I practiced pulling out that that my Bible, reading those scriptures, reciting those verses, did I stop having nightmares? No. But did the fear start to shift? Did something start to shift in my life? Yes. You know, I developed that practice, that proficiency in just something so simple as two verses that I learned and memorized and then reading a passage of scripture. You know, this is the same for you and I today. What could it look like? Maybe it's reading the daily verse in the Bible app. That's where you can start. Just one verse a day in the Bible app. Maybe it's doing a Bible plan with yourself or with a family member or friends. Maybe reading or listening to a chapter or two if you're an audible learner or an auditory learner. Reading and journaling. Maybe it's doing Bible study. Maybe it's memorizing scripture. Whatever it is, we can build practice in getting proficient with the Word of God. And you know, as I look across the room, I know there are many people here who are already doing this well. I think of Sonia, who's doing the Bible plan in a year. I know this because we're doing the same one, and it tells you on the Bible app. I think of Sharon, who studies a passage of scripture and takes time to journal, and she says God marinates her and Holy Spirit speaks to her through that word. You know, I think of Ethan doing a Bible study with his Christian workmate at work. As I look across from, I think of those of you who attend the Bible study, I think of each and every one of us that, well done, keep at it, keep practicing, keep getting proficient with the Word of God, that we have this mighty weapon that we can use to give us a sound mind, to give us self-discipline, to give us self-control, to help us with our moderation. Well done, keep at it. This consistent practice with the Word of God builds proficiency. And in the moments we don't understand, we can't interpret, we're not sure what's going on, we have Holy Spirit to guide us into all truth. He brings revelation. In John 16:13, it says this, when the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all truth. With His word, you and I have the power and authority to cast down obstacles, to cast down thoughts that are not in line with God's truth. So how do we do this? You know, we are human, but we do not fight as humans do. We can use the Word of God as a mighty weapon. But number three, we take thoughts captive and make them obedient to Christ. We take thoughts captive and make them obedient to Christ. As it says in verse 5, and we take every thought captive and make it obedient to Christ. You know, the word here for take captive, it's pronounced eikmalotizo, to gain control over, to capture one's mind. Friends, you and I do not need to be at the mercy of our thoughts and emotions. You and I are not at the mercy of our thoughts and emotions. We can take them captive and bring them in alignment with God's truth. And can I give you some examples of perhaps some unhealthy, unhelpful thoughts we might have that we need to take captive of as I invite the team to come? You know, perhaps we catastrophizing things. This is like the rabbit hole. Oh, I made a mistake. My boss is going to tell me off. I'm going to get fired. I won't have a job, and then I will be homeless. You know, catastrophizing, going from 0 to 100 is super unhelpful, but somehow my mind tends to go there, right? The worst case scenario thinking. Perhaps it's black and white thinking. The always or never. Things never work out for me. Why do I bother trying? I always get this wrong. This always happens to me. Perhaps that's an unhelpful thinking pattern that you have. You know, magnification and minimization, making some things look bigger than they are and other things look little. Everyone else is so talented. I'm not good at anything. Magnifying everyone else and making yourself seem small. Now, this is not an exhaustive list. Perhaps you go, oh, like, I don't do any of those things, so there's nothing that I need to work on. You know, what about insecurity? What about doubt? What about feelings of guilt, shame, condemnation? Now, I don't say any of this as a heavy thing, but as to give you an encouragement that we have the opportunity to walk in freedom from these things. We have the opportunity to take thoughts captive and make them obedient to Christ, who is all truth. We have the power of Holy Spirit working in us to help us overcome. So I ask you this morning, what is an unhelpful thought pattern that you might have? What might Holy Spirit be saying to you? You know what? This is something that you know I've been pinpointing for a while that you need to work on. You know, you might say to me this morning, you don't know what I've been through. You don't know the hurt or the pain or the trauma I've experienced. And you're absolutely right, I don't. But I do know the one who does. I do know the one who does, Jesus, that He knows you intimately, inside and out. And He has given you the Holy Spirit to help you overcome. Romans 12:2 says this: don't copy the behaviors and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. That God does the transformation work. We are participants, but He does the transformation work in us. You know, the Gateway kids this term are learning about this, and they're learning that scripture as their memory verse. And the little like sort of blurb that goes with it is catching the thoughts, checking them against God's word, and changing them. And I think that's such a simple yet practical way that we can apply changing our thoughts. You know, science suggests that we have the capacity to change the way we think. This is called neuroplasticity. Your brain has the capacity to change, to make new neural pathways to change the way you think. But you know, it's not a one-off and done. It takes effort, it takes repetition. It requires a sound mind, self-control, discipline, moderation. You know, some unhelpful thinking patterns, maybe if they're trauma-related, they may require further support. Daily actively praying, deliverance, someone standing with you in prayer. It may require consultation with a professional, a psychologist, or a counselor. You know, rest, yes, it requires something from us. We are active participants, but it's not done in our own strength. We have the amazing Holy Spirit and the Word of God that enables us to change the way we think. Can I suggest though in this moment that it requires a degree of self-awareness for us to consider, to ask Holy Spirit, what is it you want to reveal to me? See, I'm reminded a little bit of lane departure alerts in some modern cars. You know, in cars where it's like if you start to deviate from your lane, it sends you a little alert and causes you to go back into your lane. And you know, sometimes when I'm in the car and it does that, I can just kind of ignore it and be like, oh, it's just going off because there's a car next to me. But perhaps that's a bit like that with our thoughts sometimes, that we get a bit desensitized. We get so familiar with how we've always done things or how we've been familiar with things that it takes a moment where we position ourselves and say, Holy Spirit, what are you saying to me? What are you revealing to me? What do you want me to grow in? What do I need to catch the thought, check it against your word, and change it? What is an unhelpful thought pattern? What is a word that has been spoken over to me that was untrue? What is a lie that I'm believing from the enemy that I need to catch, check against your word, and change it and bring it into alignment with truth? And you know, Damien, I was thinking of you this morning as I was preparing, and the word that came to me is what Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, I think it is, but I'll look it up for you after. You know, he says, he had a past, but he said, I forget what is in the past and I look forward to what God has for me. I press on. And the word is to keep pressing on. You know, laying aside what is in the past, but to keep pressing on in what He has for you. Because this is only the start of the story that He's writing for you. It's not the end of the story. There is so much more that He has for you. But laying aside what is in the past, taking hold of what He has for you, and keep pressing forward in all that He has for you. And you know, even as I prepared this morning, and maybe this word is for several people, but I was reminded of Mary. And you know how the Holy Spirit, how the angel Gabriel came to her and said, you will be pregnant with Jesus, the Savior of the world. And she says, how can this be? How can this be? She understood reproductive biology. How can this be? But you know, maybe that's something that you've asked. How can this be? God has said something to you, but you're like, how can this be? And the angel Gabriel said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High God will overshadow you. And I believe for some of you here, you might say, how can this be? The Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High God will overshadow you. You know, that word overshadow you is envelop. The power of the Most High God will envelop you in this moment to take captive those thoughts and make them obedient to truth. So what area in your life, what thought process, what area of your thinking do you need God to bring His power, His love, and His sound mind, that you need Holy Spirit to work in you? You know, at the prayer meeting last week, the word that came to me was slipstream. Slipstream, I had to look it up because it's an aerodynamic term. But in this season, there's the wind of the Holy Spirit that's creating a slipstream that is reducing the effort for the work that we have to do. See, slipstream is a terminology used in cycling, for an example, where the leader of the pack, by riding up the front, reduces the resistance for us to ride behind them. And in this season, in this moment, that Holy Spirit, as our leader, as the one who brings power, as the one who gives us love and a sound mind, that He is the leader, that we can follow His lead and ride in that slipstream and see stubborn issues be broken, see things that have held us captive for so long be broken. But you know what? It requires something from us. For anyone who's a cyclist, you can't just kind of go, woo, look, ma, no hands, and not cycle. You have to jump in that slipstream. You have to ride along with it. But the power, the effort is reduced because Holy Spirit is with you. So, and if you're here in this morning, and I think of Gideons in the room, who God has an amazing plan and purpose for your life. But perhaps you doubt, you say, I'm the least and my tribe is the least. But it's the power of God operating in you. And be encouraged that He has got you, that He will do the work to see those enemies defeated. So my friend, keep standing firm in the mighty power He has for you. Keep taking those thoughts captive and making them obedient to truth. That is Christ. But you know, in this moment, if you are here this morning and you don't yet know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, you know, as I said earlier on, that God loved you so much that He sent Jesus to live on the earth. He went to the cross. He died, He was buried, He rose again on the third day so that you could be restored to right relationship with Him. Through believing in Him, that you can be restored to Him and know Him and be saved and walk in this freedom, receive the power of the Holy Spirit on salvation. And He will be your helper, He will be your guide, He will be your teacher for each and every day. So I'm going to lead the church in a prayer. A prayer that surrenders your life to God and says, I want you to lead my life. I've done it my own way, but I want your ways. Can I invite everyone to close their eyes out of respect? And if that's you, if you want to be included in that prayer, a prayer that says, yes, Lord, I want to make you leader of my life. Jesus, I want to make you Lord of my life. Can I invite you to raise your hand? Once you raise your hand, you can put it down. And you know, can I encourage you that this is the best decision that you'll ever make? So if there's anyone here, can I invite you to raise your hand and put it down once you raised it? Thank you, I see that hand. Church, why don't we join together in this prayer? Would you repeat after me? Dear Jesus, I thank you that you died on the cross. You were buried and you rose again for the forgiveness of my sins. I'm sorry for the things I've done wrong. Today, I declare that you are Lord Jesus, and I believe in my heart that God raised you from the dead. Today, I choose to follow you. Holy Spirit, teach me your ways. Teach me to follow you and to take captive my thoughts. Amen.
We pray that that message was a blessing to you. If you made a decision to follow Jesus, first of all, congratulations. We think that that is incredible. And secondly, if you go to gc.org.au/first steps, our team has put together some resources, as well as there's some information there for how you can get in contact with one of our pastors, because we'd love to encourage you and connect you into the life of the church.